Good afternoon. I'm Neil Mattson from Cornell University, and the information I'll be presenting was the brainchild of my PhD student, Gonzalo, who just finished up, so he's officially a doctor, and this week he's moving to North Carolina, where he's starting a postdoc at NC State. So a little bit of background with salt stress, and then I'll move on to the project at hand. So around the world, about 20% of irrigated field lands worldwide are affected by high soluble salt. And this is also a problem in, like, you think of petunia and greenhouse production, with excess fertilizer application, with poor quality water, and with potential use of wastewater for ornamental plant production. We like to use petunia as a model for salt stress. In particular, we use petunia cultivar Mitchell diploid, which was constructed as a double haploid, so from a homozygous, so it's homozygous at all loci. And when we've done studies comparing salt stress of different floriculture crops, petunia and snapdragon have been the most tolerant bedding plants that we've looked at. Petunia under high salts can be 1% sodium by dry weight, whereas most other dicots would be less than a tenth of a percent. And comparing petunia to other solanaceous crops, tomato at elevated salts, maybe 0.7% by dry weight, and tobacco would be much lower. So we believe that there's some novel mechanisms for salt tolerance within this genus. The objectives of this particular project were to use a whole transcriptome approach to characterize the transcript profile of Mitchell diploid under salt stress, and in this case under very acute salt stress, 150 millimolar sodium chloride. If we compare that to some of our previous screening experiments, this one was not in hydroponics, but in containers, petunias supplemented with 0, 20, 40, 60, and 80 millimolar sodium chloride as part of their irrigation water. So this is, 80 millimolar sodium chloride for 4 weeks did not kill petunias, and neither does 150 millimolar sodium chloride for a few days, but it is fairly acute salt stress. So we wanted to look at how some of the biological processes change under salt stress, and to look at that time course of that transcriptional profile. Ultimately, this would be to generate a list of candidate genes that seem to be involved in salt tolerance in petunia for future functional analysis of those genes, and those could be then good potential genes for either genetic modification or traditional breeding approaches using them as markers. So in this experimental design, we have 18 petunia plants. 9 of them would be in our control group, so just a standard Hoagland solution in hydroponics. And then the other 9 would receive the acute salt stress when we initiated the trial. So previous to this, the petunias were grown hydroponically for about 6 weeks until the time of the first open flower, and then that's the time that we initiated the acute salt stress. So for the salt-treated plants, they received 150 millimolar sodium chloride amended to their Hoagland solution. And then we selected leaves, the fifth most recently expanded leaf on lateral branches, and pooled 3 of those together to form a bioreplicate. And leaves were sampled at 0, 6, and 24 hours after that acute salt stress. And here's what those plants looked like in the growth chamber. And so then as part of our processing of the samples, then we took these bioreplicates, then we did total RNA extraction, from that extracted the mRNA to generate cDNA. From here, we multiplexed the library so that we could run 30 library samples in one lane in Illumina high-throughput RNA sequencing. So from those 30 libraries, we did paired end sequencing in a single lane, generating 196 million reads. On average, there were 13.6 million reads per sample, and then once we applied our kind of quality filtering based on a length of at least 50 bases per read with a Q score of 30, that 13.6 million reads per sample became on average 12.7 million reads per sample. Because at this point there's not a published petunia genome, we did not have a reference genome to look at to compare transcripts. And so we constructed our own reference transcriptome using a de novo assembly. And we looked at several different assemblers, but we found the highest quality assembly using SOAP de novo, using Trinity with a Kamer length of 25. And we've since made this transcriptome available if others want to mine it, and we've made it blastable at the Seoul Genomics Network. Then to further process our data, to extract information from it, so after constructing our de novo assembly, then we mapped reads using Bowtie software, and then looked at standardizing it in terms of RNA-seq by expectation maximization, normalization, and then finally we're able to map those 196 million reads to where they were coming from the genome, and then mine that for differentially expressed transcripts. And one of the things that you do to look at kind of the quality control then is to look at the functional annotation of some of those most abundant transcripts and see if they make sense. And so our five most abundant transcripts, it was reassuring to see that they were related to photosynthetic processes. So Rubisco, for example, as we know, is the most highly expressed protein in the plant. And then light harvesting chlorophyll A proteins, photosystem 1 reaction center, other Rubisco components, and so on. So we know we're on the right track in that regard. Then from those 196 million reads, then we found within 24 hours of salt stress, there were 7,000 differentially expressed genes. And so now looking at what, so then we used Go annotation, or gene ontology annotation, to look at what were some of those differentially expressed genes at 6 hours salt versus 6 hours control. And at 6 hours, many of these make sense. So they're genes related to abscisic acid, salicylic acid, ethylene, desmonic acid. So a lot of crosstalk in terms of the biotic stress response genes and the abiotic stress genes. And that was sort of reassuring to see. And then the interesting thing is looking at the unique Go terms after 24 hours of acute salt stress. And this is in leaf tissue sample. At this point, we start to see a lot more specific genes related to, especially like lipid biosynthesis, membrane stabilization, and so on. So more of those specific processes to the plant has now experienced salt stress for 24 hours and needs to respond in terms of stabilizing membranes and transporting ions to adjust for that osmotic balance. So we then looked at clusters of genes to look for upregulated or significantly downregulated genes. And so we found four clusters that three of which had upregulated genes in response to salt stress, and one of them, cluster four, had 49 genes that were significantly downregulated in response to salt stress. And so as an example, with each of these panels here, we have the five sets of samples that we compared. Starting on the left side is the control at 0 hours, so that's the farthest left. Then we have the control at 6 hours, the control at 24 hours, and then compared to the salt at 6, so you can compare that salt at 6 directly to the control at 6, and then salt at 24 versus the control at 24. Our cluster 12, which was only three upregulated transcripts, were the most highly upregulated ones. Those were all chaperones. And so we decided to, those are well known in drought and salt stress response, so we decided to mine in particular cluster 7, which were the next most highly expressed genes, and to see if we could find some novel genes there related to salt stress. At this point, without the reference genome from Petunia, we were able to mine Petunia EST databases, as well as a lot of information was mined from using a tomato reference genome to try to place an identity on these groups of genes that were upregulated in response to salt stress. And many Many that were there were ones that were previously known to be involved in salt and salt drought stress. So we discarded those and instead looked at some others that were, this first group were induced after 6 hours by four up to 32-fold, and then even further at 24 hours. And the second group were not differentially expressed at 6 hours, but by 24 hours of acute salt stress, they were upregulated by 28 to 45-fold. So I think this list then will be an interesting group to explore for future functional work. And so I'll leave it at that. It's sort of this broad screening at this point. And I'll need my next Gonzalo then to begin the functional analysis of some of those genes. One thing that we've done is now ordered Arabidopsis mutants that have knockouts for homologs of those specific genes. So we can at least look at loss of function in Arabidopsis, but then that could be done in Petunia as well, or overexpression in Petunia. And this project has been interesting for us as a case study of it doesn't have to be expensive to do transcriptomic work. Our samples were, to process our samples, were maybe $50 to $100 each, so about $3,000. And then the lane itself to run in RNA-seq was about $2,000. So that combined with a grad student's time, you can come up with the transcriptomic analysis for a relatively affordable cost. So in this work, we carried out the first reported, to our knowledge, in-depth transcriptomic analysis of Petunia under salt stress. Many of these up and down regulated transcripts were consistent with previous reports in other species, but we do have this novel Petunia transcriptome, which we've made available now as a bioinformatic resource. And from that, we have lots of candidate genes could be explored further, but we've identified 8 that we'd like to select for further studies. And some of the future work that we've been doing now are the parents of Petunia hybrida have been sequenced, but that it has not been published yet. We've been working with the group to access that database. So now we've been able to go back and use that Petunia axillaris as our reference genome, and we've looked at both root and leaf samples in response to acute stress. So with that, I'd like to thank the Poschenkel Memorial Fund for our funding, collaborators Jim Giovannoni at BTI for the RNA-seq sample preparation, and Aureliano Bomberle, who's now a new faculty member at Virginia Tech, who was our bioinformatics mentor, and then Lucas Mueller at BTI, who runs the Solanaceous Genome Network, for access to his servers as well. So thank you, and if there's time, I'll take any questions. Yeah, to generate longer sequences, or what would be the... Oh, gotcha, right, yep. It would be interesting, because ethylene biosynthesis came up as one of the most highly upregulated genes by 6 hours after salt stress. So that would be great to follow through. Okay, how does, you know, ethylene insensitive affect the suite of related genes? Thanks for bringing that up.
And that's publicly available by many different people.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Do you go to the World Petunia Day?
Gonzalo went last year. I've not gone yet myself.
Cool.
Yep. Cool. Thank you all.